It's Monday, the 7th of October, and this is the Monocle Minute. Today, prosecutors in Brazil want former President Lula da Silva transferred from prison to house arrest, but Lula says he's not going anywhere.
It's harder now to find a new leadership from the left in Brazil, and that might cause problems in the next election if Lula is still in jail or something like that.
Plus, Russia signs on to help China build a new missile defense system. And Shinzo Abe moves to cement his legacy by reforming Japan's constitution. But are voters on board with the idea? I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. Brazil's former president Lula da Silva remains one of the nation's dominant political forces, despite his ongoing prison sentence on charges of corruption. Prosecutors are now calling for him to serve the remainder of his sentence under house arrest. Monocle's Fernando Augusto Pacheco has the story. Fernando, it does seem that Lula won't be going anywhere in the short term, however. Bring us up to speed with this.
The main story here that basically Lula is refusing to leave jail for house arrest. His sentence was for 9 years, but he's been there for a year and a half. And usually, I mean, if you have good behavior, you go for house arrest. But then Lula's saying, he won't swap his dignity for freedom. In some ways, I mean, he's following the footsteps of what Nelson Mandela did. He said if he's going to leave jail, it's because he's been declared innocent, which hasn't been the case. I mean, it is, of course, a political strategy for him. But the thing is, Ben, I think it's illegal, actually, to remain in jail, even though, if you're going for house arrest, that's what you have to do. So, I mean, I think we have to wait and see what's going to happen, because I think it would look quite bad for the Operation Car Wash if you force someone to go for house arrest, especially someone that is adamant that they are innocent in the case of Lula.
This is certainly, internationally speaking, one of the highest profile aspects of the ongoing Operation Car Wash fallout. Lula, of course, being a former president of Brazil, who now has the rather unusual optics of being one of the most popular political figures while also being in prison. It's very unusual, I suppose. How do you think this plays for the ongoing situation in Brazil?
Well, I've got to be honest, the Operation Car Wash, it is a little bit tainted at the moment. First of all, with all the connections with Sergio Moro, who is our current justice minister. And also, Ben, in crazy news recently as well, someone that was doing the task force of the Operation Car Wash was arrested because of corruption. So even people that are actually supposed to be helping with Operation Car Wash, they are also corrupt themselves. And there's been quite a lot of leaks from the operation showing that some of the prosecutors, they didn't, really did everything according to the law. So yeah, it's very much tainted. And it's interesting because Lula, he just got the honorary citizen title from the city of Paris as well. So it's quite interesting. I mean, he's still quite respected internationally, but he's in jail and now he's refusing to go for house arrest. So it is a very complicated situation for the Operation Car Wash at the moment.
Nevertheless, when we look at how this is being reported in the international press and one would expect in the local press in Brazil as well, it does seem as if, despite everything, Lula is still one of the most relevant political figures in Brazil.
Absolutely. We still talk about him all the time. The only problem of that is that I think because, the left feels that they have to support Lula until the end. But in some ways, it's harder now to find a new leadership from the left in Brazil. And that might cause problems in the next election if Lula is still in jail or something like that's going on. Because, yes, a lot of Brazilians would still vote for Lula and admire him very much. But other people just think him as a corrupt man. So he can be a little bit divisive in the country.
Fernando Augusto Pacheco, we'll have to continue watching how this one plays out. Thank you for joining us. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has announced that Moscow is helping China develop a system to warn of intercontinental ballistic missile launches. As it stands, only Russia and the United States possess such technology. Stephen Diel is a journalist and Russia analyst.
There's a number of caveats here. First of all, ballistic missile defense systems are by no means infallible. On the contrary, they are very fallible. The Americans, when they tested it in ideal weather conditions, so clear skies and no rain and so on, they found that they could probably shoot down 4 out of 10 incoming missiles. So it's a warning system. What I see it really as, and the fact that it's been released by President Putin and not by President Xi and the Chinese side, is that it's Russia and Putin in particular trying to curry a bit more favour with China. It's not an equal relationship. Russia has a much, much smaller population than China. It has a bigger territory, but those two things actually make them particularly worried, because most of the Russian population lives in the European part of Russia. There's an awful lot of empty space full of resources. Russia's eternal worry about China is that China will one day decide that their population is so big they need more territory to expand into, and that they will invade Russia. So Russia has to play up this idea that, oh, we're great friends. And Xi said earlier this year when he met Putin, oh, he is my best and bosom friend. For Putin, it seems to me it's a case of, you know, the classic keep your friends close and your enemies closer still. China, I think, more relevant actually from the strategic debate when they had their big 70th anniversary of the Communist Revolution parade, and they put on display their new, they call it hypersonic missile. Now, that's going to be far more worrying for anyone who thinks they might get into a scrap with China than China having an anti-ballistic missile system, because if this is capable of doing what the Chinese say, of moving at incredible speeds, hence a hypersonic, there's no ballistic missile system that could shoot it down. So actually, China's attacking capability is going to be more significant, if that is the case, than this defensive capability, which the Russians are apparently, I won't say giving, but probably selling them for a large sum of money.
To Japan now, where the country's prime minister is about to embark on what could be the boldest move of his political career.
With Japan's parliament now back for an extraordinary 2-month session, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is hoping to solidify his legacy with a big legislative win, revising his country's pacifist constitution. Abe wants to legalise the all-around military role of the self-defence forces, which exists in a grey zone given that the Constitution's Article 9 prevents the country from possessing land, sea and air forces, as well as other war potential. Winning approval won't be a simple matter. Abe's Liberal Democratic Party doesn't have the two-thirds majority in the upper house to submit the legislation, and the LDP's ruling coalition partner, Komeito, appears to be hedging its bets. The public is also divided, with the Kyoto News survey conducted last month showing that 47% of voters oppose a revision, versus 39% who are for it. Abe is likely to enter the history books next month as Japan's longest-serving leader, but he'll need something extra to reshape his country's military future.
And finally today, a dispatch from Monocle's bureau chief in Toronto, Thomas Lewis.
3 weeks ago, photographs of Canada's Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, in his younger days, dressed up and his face daubed with dark makeup, were published. Those pictures felt like they would become the defining imagery of this year's vote, not solely for what they depicted, but because they contributed to a picture of a person not to be trusted. The personification of broken promises, of political aloofness, of business as usual. Now, however, the latest opinion polls suggest that his Liberal Party is still locked, effectively, in a three-way tie with his main opponents, the Conservatives on the right and the left-leaning New Democrats, the NDP. Trudeau's ratings are unchanged, and new research published by McGill University in Montreal late last week revealed that the scandal died out in online chatter after just 3 days. Why? Well, firstly, Trudeau's handling of the affair was a masterclass in political damage control. His apologies were swift, sincere, and he made them over and over again. Secondly, his opponents have failed to capture the popular imagination more broadly. Scandals can make voters reassess their political priorities, but Trudeau seems to represent more than his misadventures in fancy dress. He is still a contender.
My thanks to Thomas Lewis in Toronto. That's all for today's program. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Ben Ryland. The Monocle Minute returns on Tuesday.